In the reading we had today in the Gospel, the last verse, Jesus said, "See that you do not look down on the little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven will see the face of my Father in heaven." So little babies have angels. So today I want to give you a sermon entitled Kids and Angels. Oh. So let's start it off this way, because this is how the disciples started it. If I were to ask you, who is the wisest, most greatest, famous, most person in all of ever history who ever lived, I wonder who that would be. Who would be the greatest person in all of history, in all of time, in every multi-universe? Well, I had a thought. Oh. Gandalf. Probably, maybe not, I don't know. I don't know if you think he's great. But then, of course, who would be the greatest person alive today? No.
Oprah?
Oprah. You see, the disciples came to Jesus and they asked a similar question. Like, who's the greatest person in the kingdom of heaven? And the question is the greatest person who ever lived, or the greatest person who's alive today, would that be the same as the greatest person who's in heaven, in the kingdom of heaven? I don't think so. I don't think that the people that you and I consider really great may necessarily be considered really great in the kingdom of heaven. That's what the disciples came to. If you're following, if you've got your Bibles open, that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And instead of naming a famous Roman emperor or, some famous Greek philosopher, Jesus gets a kid out of the crowd and he says this: I tell you the truth, unless you change, just watch that, underline the word change, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Forget about being the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You won't even get into the kingdom of heaven if you don't change to be like a child. Of course, you understand he's not saying you should be childish. He's saying that there are qualities in children that we should emulate. So the disciples came with the question, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Already they're coming with worldly thinking. They're thinking like the world. That's not how Jesus thinks, and that's not how the kingdom of God thinks. Jesus challenged them straight away. He said this: unless you change, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. Change from what? Well, unless you change from the way you think and the way you live, and you become like a little child, you have these qualities of a little child, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, I can see the disciples scratching their head, saying, well, what do you mean change? Like a little kid, like, I don't get that. Like us, they've been thinking so long in the world, they've been living in the world, they've got so much of the world slapped all over us, it's very hard to think like the kingdom of God. So Jesus said, look, unless you become like a little child, you won't see the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. So they're still scratching their head, what? We've got to become little kids. No, I don't want you to become children. I want you to have the qualities that little children have. And they're still scratching their heads. So you see in verse 4 he says in the gospel passage, look, whoever humbles himself like this little child standing in front of you is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If you're willing to be humble, you'll be great in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes this little child also welcomes me. He's making a link there, right? Humility and Jesus. If you become like a little child with humility, you will be great. And if you have humility and you welcome this little child, you'll be associating with Jesus. If you humble yourself like a child, you'll be great. You see, Jesus is saying humility is one of the signs of changing. If you want to put it in Christian speak, humility is a sign of conversion. If you're still dealing with pride, that's a challenge to whether you're converted or not, if pride is a big issue. True humility is a reminder that we are dependent on God. Have a guess who that might be. Who's standing? Jesus. Thank you, Gil. Who do you think that is on the ground? Mary. The woman caught in adultery. And what did Jesus do with the woman caught in adultery? He forgave her sins. The woman who was caught in adultery, she was an adulteress, she understood the forgiveness of God, and she was hugely humble about it. You see, humility is the basis of your relationship with God. Now, Jesus goes on and says, this is not just theory, this is a very serious matter. And so he goes on to verse 6. He didn't write the verses, but it's recorded. In verse 6, we go on to verse 6. If anyone causes one of these little ones not to believe in me, or anyone causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be far better that you get a large millstone, hang it around your neck, and then jump off into the ocean. Woe to the world because of these, the things that have caused people to sin. Such things must come. We know there's sin in the world. But woe to the person who brings it about. In other words, if you cause somebody to stumble, like a little child to stumble, or you reject humility, or you cause other people to stumble, it would be better that you take one of these and chuck it round your neck and jump off the White Rock Pier. You know, that's a millstone. That's what they used to use to grind, you know, the wheat. Woe to anybody that would cause a child to stumble. Okay, so that's a metaphor. Woe to anybody that would reject humility and the change that is required to be in the kingdom of God. Now, this is kingdom speak. There's a lot of people out there, a lot of people in the world, they don't get this. They reject God, they reject spirituality, they reject Jesus, they have no idea of what's going on, and they want to be involved with doing the world their way. Fame, finances. Hello. Welcome to the service. Keeping people away from the kingdom of God, from the kingdom of heaven, is a huge issue. So here's a question for you and for me. Not only should we be considering, are we doing good in the world? That's a good question. Are you doing good in the world? But just as importantly, you should be asking the question, are you sure you're not doing any harm? Are you sure you're not doing any harm? This is what Jesus says. This is such a serious matter that if your foot causes you to sin, you should cut it off and throw it away. Can we put the little baby down? Because she's getting really... Everyone's looking at the baby and not looking at me. And right now it's my turn. In a minute, it's going to be her turn. Focus. Focus, everybody. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Good. Because this is a really important issue and I don't want you to be lost... be distracted by what God's trying to say to us today. What God's trying to say to us today is that if you have something in your life that's causing you to not be humble and not to change, in other words, something that's causing you to sin, you should get rid of it. If you have a foot that causes you to sin, you should cut it off. If you've got an eye that causes you to sin, you should poke it out. It's a metaphor. You don't go around, cut your foot off and poke your eye out. It's a metaphor. Right? Jesus is trying to say that this thing about humility is so important that you need to do, you and I together, we need to do whatever it takes that we don't go down this road. So what you want? Total health, never be sick and end up in hell for the rest of eternity, or struggle through life and do what you need to and follow, be like a little child and get to heaven with a broken leg. Truth is, we're all broken anyway. 95% of all the people in the world are broken, and the other 5% are liars. So Jesus is saying, this is really important. Like, if your foot causes you to sin, you better do something about it. What in your life, don't answer this. This is a rhetorical question. What's the foot in your life? What's the thing that's causing you real problem at the moment? What addiction? What practice? What lifestyle habits? Or what about, Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, you should gouge it out. What eye do you have that needs to be dealt with? Have you thought about that? Jesus says you need to deal with it if you want to be like a kid. Let me tell you the case of the glued TV set. Does this look familiar, honey? So when we first got married, Jenny and I, we got rid of our TV many, many years ago. And a few years into our marriage, my mum and dad thought it'd be really great. They'd come and visit my place, our place, and they'd say, like, you guys don't have a TV. You must be so sad. No, let me tell you, most people with TVs are the sad ones. Oh. And so they bought us a TV for Christmas. Gee, thanks, Mum and Dad. Well, in Australia, they don't have cable television like here. They just have four broadcast stations. Channel 7, Channel 9, SBS, and Channel 2. Channel 2 was the government equivalent to the CBC. So we get watching the TV, and because of my background, before I was a Christian, I lived on the other side of the railway tracks, drug, sex and rock and roll. And the problem with TV is that late night movies have a lot of drug, sex and rock and roll, with an emphasis on sex, right? And that's not really good for me to watch. I shouldn't be watching that stuff. So I tried self-control. How did that go?
Not very well.
Not very well. Exactly. So what I did is, there were three channels that used to show late night movies, and this, you won't believe this, but the equivalent to the CBC, which is called the ABC, Australian Broadcasting Commission, they used to just show sports and documentaries and news. Pretty boring. So one afternoon I went down to the equivalent to the Home Depot store. In that Australia you call that the Bunnings store. And I bought some super glue. And I went to the channel selector on the TV, and all the other channels except Channel 2, I super glued them all to Channel 2. So the only channel that I had was the ABC, sports and documentaries with news. If something causes you to sin, you cut it off, or you could super glue it. So I'd have people coming in visiting, like my mum and dad, going, wow, this golf is really boring. Let's turn to a movie. What's happened to the TV? I super glued it. I only got Channel 2. That's it. Sports and documentaries with the news. So that's the case of the glued TV. What would be the foot or the eye that Jesus is talking about in your life that you need to deal with in order to become like a child and have that humility of a child? Without humility, you can't cut off a foot or an eye. Without humility, you can't super glue a TV set Because humility is the requirement to say, look, you know, I haven't got all this together. I'm a broken person and I need help. That's what being like a child is like. Children don't even understand at a very young age about humility and not humility. And then finally, Jesus said this, see that you do not look down, that's what Ed was just saying, see that you do not look down on one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of their Father. Here's a rub. You shouldn't look down on little children. And you shouldn't look down on what little children represent on this aspect of what Jesus is teaching. This sense of humility. You and I need to become like those kids. Again, we're not becoming childish. We're becoming like little kids with humility. Then you'll be great in the kingdom of God, and you'll also be acknowledging what Jesus is teaching. You better not look down on these little kids, because these little kids have angels that are assigned to them that have access to God. If you look down on a little kid, you discredit the whole idea of humility, says Jesus. If you don't get this principle, you haven't understood what true greatness in the kingdom is all about. Because true greatness in the kingdom has representatives that stand before God. They have an inside contact to the big G. I don't exactly know what angels look like, but angels are assigned to children, like we all have guardian angels. Angels are assigned to children. And what children represent is what we should be chasing after. At least that aspect of children, the humility. These angels see God face to face. So let me just finish. I'll just do a short sermon today because I want to spend some time in the baptism. Here's the point of the reading today and the sermon today. If you want to be great, if that's one of your goals in life, to be famous or great or really wealthy, you already lost the battle, says Jesus. The real question is humility. Are you humble? And if you answer the question yes, then you've already lost the battle. Actually, one of the things I wanted you to know is that I'm a pretty humble person. See, it doesn't work. Humility is something that only other people can see in you. If you think you got it, you ain't. The real question is, are you willing to do whatever it takes so that you don't live a life of sin? Not saying not to sin. I'm not talking about not sinning. We all sin. But sinning, struggling with a sin, is very different than living a life of sin, a life of disobedience to God. More appropriately, it might be better to say, to do whatever it takes so that you don't live a life centered around what you want for your whole life, that you're the center of your life. Can you do whatever it takes, cut off a foot, cut off an eye, glue a TV, or whatever it takes so that you can live a life of obedience and humility? When you're humble, you'll understand you're broken. When you understand you're broken, you won't take things for granted, and you recognize you need a Savior and you need help. If you're not willing to do that, then you're living a life that would cause a little child to stumble. That's the metaphor. So, you know, people who want to live their lives for themselves, go buy a millstone. Maybe not before you die, but after you die, it'll all work out. So the question is, are you willing to be like a little child? One of the things about that picture that really inspires me is there's a sense of innocence there. The kid doesn't even know about humility yet. Probably knows about disobedience too. Yeah, it doesn't have to learn that. But there is a part in that picture that tells me what Jesus was saying when the disciples came and said, you know, who's going to be the greatest? You boys have totally lost the plot. What you could do is be like that. So let me pray for you. Father God, we thank you for little children and we thank you for what they represent. We ask that today you would remind us that we too need to be changed like little children so that we might see the kingdom of God. We ask your blessing on us in Jesus' name. Amen.